Hey, what's good, fam? Welcome to the Ministry Zoo Season 2 with Wes and Jess. It's good to have you with us. We appreciate you tuning in, whether you're tuning in on Facebook Live or via the podcast. We're so glad to have you and appreciate you tuning in. Jess Templeton Estep is with us today, so we're excited to have that. And we're ready. We're excited. Season 2 kicks off today. Jess, how you feeling about it?
I'm feeling really good, Wes. I'm excited to be back in the studio. I'm excited for a new season. I'm excited for a little bit different look because we are on Facebook Live, and so some are able to view, some are not. But we appreciate you listening and sticking with us. We have not had an episode in a while. We've had a lot going on and getting ready for season two, but we are back, and we hope that what we bring in season two will be beneficial to you and your ministry. And if you're a student listening, we hope that it'll be beneficial to you as well.
Absolutely. So Jess and I kind of talked, and if you are listening on the podcast, you get the chance to go back and watch the live stream on Facebook. We wish that you would. We encourage you to like and share and get that out there. We would appreciate that. And when you tune in, you'll notice a little bit of a different look. Things are different. Things are a little cleaner. Jess has cleaned some things up for us. He's put some lights on his beautiful face, and we've turned my lights off. So it looks really good. But what we wanted to do with season two is we wanted to do a series. And so we thought, we would start with a series of our favorite things. So we're going to take favorite things that we have learned and that we have studied in Scripture and that we can take and make ourselves better. Things that we have learned from, things that have encouraged us and made us better Christians, and things that we've been able to go out and tell other people about and make people feel like and realize that through Scripture, you're not alone. There are people that have suffered and gone through many things in life, and so we're not alone. So we're going to take those favorite things from Scripture. We're going to talk about them this season, and basically, hopefully, we'll get some feedback from you on some of your favorite things and some of your favorite aspects of Scripture as well as we talk about these different labels underneath the favorites series.
Yeah. So today, we're just excited for everybody to be in this series coming up. And like Wes said, we feel like at least with this series and what we're going to talk about, that it opens up good discussion because everybody's got their favorite thing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
When we start asking kids, what's your favorite, we talk about colors,
yep.
we talk about your foods. Mm-hmm. And as we grow and as we get older, and as we grow into our Christianity, we begin to really think about, what is my favorite text? What's my favorite scripture? What's my favorite Bible story? For youth leaders, we start to think about all of the retreats and all of the trips and all of the food and all of the banquets and all of those things that we plan as youth workers.
Yep.
And we start to think, I really have this one thing in mind
yeah.
that I just really, really loved. And maybe it was the people, maybe it was the food, maybe it was the video, whatever it was, the location, the games, the lessons. We want your feedback mm-hmm. in this series. And I don't know how long we'll go with this series, but we'll just have to see how it goes. But we all have those favorite things, and so we want to discuss that. One, because it brings to mind positive things, and mm-hmm. so much of what we do sometimes gets negative. But this could just be a fun, positive thing right. for us as youth workers, even teenagers. If you want to give your input, you're watching, then that's great too. But also, it can also provide some ideas. I think that's a good thing about a series like this, because there may be a place that you thought, wow, the location of this retreat made the retreat just so much better. Well, other youth workers want to know where you went.
Yeah.
And so we can provide those details as well. So please join us, and we'll enjoy this series together.
Absolutely. So kind of what we wanted to start with today was our favorite encounters with Jesus, people in Scripture, stories in Scripture where they've encountered Jesus, and basically the under all of these, and I'm going to talk about mine, Jess, talk about his, and we want to hear from you what yours is too. But basically the underlying factor of all of these encounters with Jesus is the way in which their life changed the minute that Jesus encountered them, or they encountered Jesus, or Jesus entered into their life. And I think sometimes we don't understand the importance. When we read these, we just take the stories at face value and we don't really dig. So that's kind of what we're focused on today, is kind of giving you a synopsis of what our favorite encounter is and why, not just taking the story at face value. So there's lots of important ones. There's lots of different ones and different takes, but do you mind if I start?
No, I want you to.
Okay, all right.
I'm excited. I'm excited to hear.
So, hey, good morning, Colin Little. Good to have you with us today. So, I wanted to start with Luke chapter 8, beginning around verse 40. And Jesus is there, and there's a man that comes to Jesus, and he's not just any man. He's the leader of the synagogue. And so, he comes to Jesus, and he asks Jesus for some help. His daughter is sick. And he's looking for some help from Jesus. And so the Bible tells us that the daughter is around 12 years old. She's very, very sick, on the verge of death. And so the man rushes to Jesus to try to get some help. So Jesus starts to make his way through the crowd. And you know how it was. I mean, Scripture tells us that anywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd that followed him, and there was just an abundance of people. And it's kind of like going somewhere with Jess. There's just a ton of people just following and flocking to where he's at. So Jesus is with this group of people and making his way through this group of people, and a lady touches his garment. A lady touches his robe. And so Jesus asks the question. He says, who touched my robe? You know, and so Peter's there, and we all know Peter, and Peter's like, you know, Jesus, you're in this group of people, like, there's no telling who touched you. And Jesus makes a very profound statement, and he says, no, basically he's saying, somebody touched me with the intent to touch me. They're looking for something. So he's looking for who it was. And so the lady knows now at this point that she can't hide, so she comes forward, and fun fact, nobody can hide from Jesus. Everything we do is on display. Everything is seen. But and so she fesses up to what she's done. So Jesus begins conversating with this woman, and the interesting thing about this woman to me is she begins to tell Jesus about her situation. So she's had this bleeding issue. Mm-hmm. Bible tells us for 12 years. Okay. The daughter was also 12 years old. Okay, just things like that that I start to pick up on. But I want to ask you this question. How do you think that goes in a modern day, like, first date situation? Like, hi, I'm Jill.
Yeah.
I like long walks on the beach. I enjoy a good book. And, oh, by the way, I've been bleeding for 12 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's got to make an effect on you.
So, yeah, you know,
every aspect of your life.
There's these things that are happening in this life. So she's looking for some healing. She's looking for some comfort. And so, what does Jesus say to her? He's like, daughter, you know, your faith has made you well, you know, go on. And so go in peace. And so then Jesus is not finished at this point. So, you know, we've had these two interactions. We've had this guy come and ask for his daughter. We've had for help for his daughter. We've had this woman who's had this bleeding issue for 12 years, and she's trying to get some healing. So Jesus heals her, continues on, and as he's walking toward, I imagine, as he's walking toward the place where the girl is, where the man's daughter is, someone runs to him and says, hey, your daughter's dead, okay? Mm-hmm. There's no need to bother Jesus with this anymore. She's already gone. And so Jesus has some comforting words for the guy. He tells the guy not to worry, you know, and just to be faithful. And so as Jesus goes in, and he tells the people inside of the house, you know, they start laughing at Jesus when he says, you know, she's not dead. She's just asleep. And then he tells her to get up, and she gets up.
Yeah.
Okay. So here in just a matter of a few scriptures, we begin to see, or we can see that just the pure power of Jesus and just how impactful he is in just, you know, and I don't know the time frame, but in just a matter of a few verses, I don't know the exact time frame, how long it took him to walk from point A to point B and to interact with all these people. But just in a short time frame, he's absolutely turned two people's lives completely around just because of an interaction, just because of an encounter. A dude goes to help, desiring help for his daughter. A woman touches his garment just in the hopes of being healed. And so he does that. He goes and raises the guy's daughter. And so here are these encounters. And here's the interesting thing about Jesus. The way in which he handles those two situations, the woman who has the bleeding issue, who, you know, her life has to be miserable. I mean, it just has to be miserable. I can't stand to get a paper cut. You know, I mean, just something as tiny as that. And, you know, I'm a diabetic, so I have to prick my fingers a lot. And so, you know, I can't imagine. It just affects, like, I don't have very many nerve endings. You know what I mean? So, sure. Just so many things change. And so her life has been changed. This guy's daughter has been raised from the dead. So all because Jesus interacted with them, they encountered him. But then Jesus tells the parents at the end of this little section of scripture here, he's like, hey, don't tell anybody. You know, it's not a big deal. You know, I am Christ. It's not, you know, it's like, this is just who I am. This is just what I do. And so their lives are changed forever, and he's just doing what he's there to do. And I think sometimes we forget the importance of just doing what we're here to do. We want to be patted on the back. We want to be told, hey, you know, you've done a good job. And we like to hear those things, and we don't tell people, no, don't ever tell me that again. But, you know, when people tell us that, we enjoy that. But Jesus is basically saying, look, this is what I'm here to do. I'm here to help. I'm here to give you hope. I'm here to give you peace. And that's what he's done through these encounters. So Luke chapter 8 has a couple of different encounters, but it's just impactful and powerful in just a very short period of time.
Yeah, I think that's a great story. And because of the nature of it, to be honest, we skirt around it. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll lump it in with other stories and just kind of talk about it in passing.
Yeah.
But you know, that was a very real story and a very, very real problem that she had. And like you said, 12 years is a long time, to be honest, to have a problem, any kind of chronic issue like that.
Yeah.
And to have that taken away, and you know, to have seen your daughter dead, or to know that she's dead and then alive again.
Yeah.
Cannot imagine the emotional toll that all of that took on that family.
Yeah.
And so here comes Jesus, you know, to encounter these people and completely, like you said, changes their lives forever. And so I think it's a great story. I think that's a great one to start off with. I'm glad that you chose that one.
It'll preach.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about, and listen, we all have things in our life that, you know, if we just allow Jesus to take control, just allow God to have control. And I talk to my kids about that a lot, and I know you do too, but, and I know those of you that are listening will too, but you talk to your kids a lot about just letting God be in control, because we fear the unknown. We just do. And when things are affecting our life, we crumble under that, and we don't look for the answer. But these people here were looking for Jesus, and they found the answer. So I think it's unique to look at it from that perspective. So
I appreciate that story. And the last thing you touched on, the mentality of Jesus to do that and not, you know, go around and tell them to tell everybody what I did, you know, and go around and shout, hey, did you see, y'all know this girl, you know, y'all know these problems that's been going on with their lives. And hey, I just took care of that. You know, I'm the man. I just took care of it. That is our nature.
Yeah.
That is not the nature of Jesus. Now, were there times when, he told people to go and tell what I've done? Sure. But it was always for a purpose,
right?
You know, it was always for a reason, and I believe that he always knew the way they would receive that.
Yeah,
and so when there's people that he says, go tell these people what I've done, I believe that Jesus knew that that's all they needed to believe in him and to follow him. They just needed somebody to tell. It wasn't because he wanted to boast,
right?
You know, his whole purpose in his whole life was turn people to me.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
And so whenever he says, don't tell anybody, there's a reason. Whenever he says, tell somebody, there's a reason. And it is never to boast.
Yeah. It's funny that we're talking about it from this viewpoint. Yesterday, Jess and I are both pretty active on social media. You put something on your Facebook yesterday about how, you know, when we take to social media, you know, we should really check how we basically check yourself before you put yourself out you know, and so I thought it was really telling, because I had thought about it. I was going to talk about how Jesus looked at it and said, you know, don't tell anybody, you know, or go tell people and let people know what's happened. But it's kind of the same thing. You know, you want to make sure that everything lines up and that everything checks out. And so I appreciated you putting that on there yesterday, because, you know, sometimes we take things out of out of context. We take things out of, you know, what they were originally intended to be. And this story was intended for us to see that Jesus loves us. He mm-hmm. cares for us. And it doesn't matter your spot in life. He will find you. It's not that he's gone anywhere. It's us that have moved away. So, and we need to go and seek after him. So I appreciate you letting me tell that, my favorite encounter with Jesus. Let's hear about yours.
Yeah. Before we get into mine, I just want to remind those that may have joined Facebook Live. I see Andrew Thompson, Luke Stevenson, looks like has been on listening, and I hope you guys are hanging with us today.
Andrew said, fear the beards.
Yeah, hashtag fear the beards, baby. Just want to remind you, Andrew and others who may have come in after we got started, if you want to call in, I would ask that you do it after, maybe after I kind of wrap up, you know, my favorite, so that we'll have some kind of time and be able to take some calls, and we'll let you know. But Andrew, I think you've got my number, but just to remind everybody, 256-443-0086. So just get that out of the way. Just wanted to remind everybody. Okay, so it just kind of fell like this. This is kind of interesting that these two stories, you've got one story of great faith of this woman who reaches out to touch Jesus, hoping that maybe even if she can just touch him, you know, she can get his attention, she can be healed, and the amount of faith that took to do that. This one is not exactly opposite, but there's some opposite undertones, okay? Mm-hmm. So my favorite encounter of with Christ comes from Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 33, and it is when Jesus walks on water and Peter gets out of the boat. So if you're not familiar with the story, most of us probably are, I will just do a quick synopsis. So basically, there's been a multitude of people that Jesus has been talking to, teaching and preaching, and they're together with the apostles. Are there, and they decide it's getting late in the day, and they're going to get on the boat and go to the other side of the lake. So Jesus sends them, basically tells them to go. He's going to finish up with the multitude, and he says, y'all get in the boat, and y'all go ahead and head to the other side. And they were out there all night. Mm-hmm. It says that the wind was affecting that, so there was some type of windstorm, maybe, don't know to what degree. And so they're out there all night on the lake. And so at dawn, it says at dawn, so this has been going on all night. It says that Jesus walks out to meet them.
Yeah.
And, so, wow, first of all, Jesus is walking on water. We know that he does that. We know that, he's the Son of God, but it's still, when you think about, you know, we read these stories growing up and we hear them and we teach them and it's like, okay, and Jesus walked out on the water and we don't. But the magnitude of what he did is incredible. He walked out on the water to meet them, and they see him coming, and of course, just like any of us probably would be, they're afraid.
Sure.
They get scared. And so Jesus calls out, and he says, it's just me. You don't have to be afraid. And Peter, looking for a little confirmation, even though Jesus just said it was me, you know, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. If it is really you, he's still a little bit doubtful. But Jesus says, come. You know, that's what he says to him. So Peter, in typical Peter fashion, Peter jumps out of the boat and begins to go out to Jesus. And again, just like any one of us probably, he starts to feel the wind and to see the effects of the wind, and he gets scared, and it affects his walk on the water to Jesus. And so Jesus, after they get into the boat, you know, he helps him into the boat, and he's taking care of him. They get into the boat, and Jesus calls him out a little bit on his faith. Oh, you have little faith.
Yeah.
You know, and Peter can't help but just say, you truly are the Son of God.
Right.
You know, and there's so many other encounters. I know, you know, thinking of one in particular with the Legion. Mm-hmm. The demon-possessed man, where same thing happens. When Legion is face-to-face with Jesus, he says the same thing, truly you are the Son of the living God. It's one of those things that when you encounter Jesus and you you know, for us, we're not face to face with him like these people, but we encounter him through his word and through prayer and in other ways that, you know, emotionally we get, you know, attached to him and just thinking about the things that he did. And we can't help but just say, truly, you are the Son of God. Yeah. But I think it's interesting, you know, you brought up the woman who had the faith and reached out for Jesus. She had an issue of blood. And, you know, and then you've got Peter, who was an apostle, you know, and has this moment where he, his faith shines through a little bit. You know, we know Peter, we know his life. He did great things, you know, obviously, you know, one of the most well-known apostles and went on to live, you know, faithful life to Jesus and to God. But in this moment, you know, when Jesus is right there, and he says, do not be afraid, come out to me. And Peter goes, yeah, he does go, but then he has that moment where his faith drops a little bit. And so the reason that I like this story is for a couple of reasons. One, it reminds us that even though these men are great when we think about them, I mean, they're right there in the Hall of Faith. You know, they're people that we can look up to and we can learn by their example. But also we're reminded that they're not perfect.
Yeah.
These men were not perfect. They sinned, they made mistakes. They had moments where their faith lacked a little bit. You've got Thomas, you know, we maybe not rightfully so, but we call him doubting Thomas, you know, but yet they're still great men and we should follow their example, but they're not perfect.
Right.
And I tell you, I really appreciate that because I know I'm not perfect.
Right.
And if I ever start to get the big head and the boastfulness that we talked about, I can be humbled by stories like this to see, okay, you know, I don't have it all together either, because I would probably have looked down and been worried, oh no, I'm standing on water.
Yeah.
I can't stand on water. This does not make sense logically. Yeah. Even though Jesus is, you know, right there.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when we go through struggles and hardships and adversity, and even though we know Jesus is right there, we look to ourselves and we look to other things to get us through. And so that's one reason that I love this encounter with Christ. The other reason is a good thing about Peter. Maybe I keep saying Paul, I probably do, but Peter's zeal is impressive to me.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is still in the boat.
Right.
And Peter's like, if that's really Jesus, I'm going out there to see him. Yeah. I'm getting out there. And he does. He doesn't just talk the talk. He does actually go out there. And so the great thing about Peter is that he has a lot of zeal, and we can learn about that too. Yeah. When it's time to reach out, when it's time to go to Jesus, we can follow Peter's example and say, I'm going to Jesus. I'm getting out of this boat, and I'm going to follow him. And whatever the boat is for you, we got to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Other times when Peter shows his zeal, you've got him, even though he probably shouldn't have, definitely shouldn't have, Jesus gets onto him, is when Judas has got, Judas has got the guys that are going to arrest Jesus. Obviously, we know Peter is the one that goes out, and in an act of violence, he tries to cut Malchus, probably trying to cut his head off, but he cuts his ear. Jesus has to get onto him again. That's not what this is about.
Right.
But you see Peter's zeal.
Yeah.
Peter does not want this happening to his Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he's also real quick right after that to tell Jesus, I won't deny you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deny. No, if I'm faced with it, I will confirm you. I'm not going to deny you. He does. He does have.
Yeah.
So Peter's got he's got some flaws. He's got some issues, but boy, can't we relate to Peter?
For sure.
I mean, you know, we relate to him, all of us, so well. But I think that, you know, this particular story, it impacts me in a certain way, and tells me that even though I have my flaws and have my moments when I might doubt as well and I get scared, that Jesus is still there. He's there to pick us up. He's there for us, and we've got to just keep remembering that. So that's our favorite stories, or at least our favorite encounters with Christ.
You know, you mentioned the one about Legion, the demon-possessed man.
Right.
So one thing to always keep in mind, especially when you're talking to other people that are maybe lost and they're trying to find their way, and one thing that you can encourage them with about talking to them about Jesus is you can encourage them and show them that it doesn't matter where you're at, what spot you're in, you can always go. So Legion, you know, you're talking about a guy that was demon possessed, lived in tombs, couldn't be contained by chains, mm-hmm. you know. And then you've got the woman that had the faith issue. Then you've got Peter, who was, you know, sometimes a little overzealous. It doesn't matter your walk.
Yeah.
Jesus is there.
Yeah. So I don't mean to be short and not comment much on that. That's okay. But we've got a phone call, and I'm interested to see who this is. So, caller, you're on with the Ministry Zoo. Who are we talking to? Hello?
Goodbye.
Okay.
Yes.
So, okay. What? There we go. We'll just make sure that's not...
Okay. Whoever that was very quick to tell us
that. They were very quick to say good. Well, yeah. I think that could have possibly been a telemarketer. So...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that. All I heard was goodbye. So...
goodbye.
Anyway. So, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed hearing about your favorite encounter with Christ. You know... I mentioned, you know, our own encounters with Christ.
Right.
And we can learn a lot by those too.
Yeah.
You know, we have moments, like I said, when we're faced with some really, you know, I always kind of talk about the struggles before the good things,
mm-hmm.
but we do. We, you know, that's just kind of human nature, I guess.
Yeah.
But we go through a lot of struggle, a lot of difficult things in this life, and it could be church related, it could be job related, it could be family related. And we need to lean on these moments that we, you know, we can bring up these moments from the Bible where God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit through the Word is telling us, I'm here for you.
Right.
You know, I'm here for you. And then when we go through those moments with faith and with trust in God, that He'll get us through, then it makes us stronger on the other end.
Yeah.
You know, and just like these people, you know, that we've talked about, I can just imagine the impact, the forever impact, eternal impact that it made on those women and their family, and then also on Peter. We know that through the series of things that Peter goes through with Jesus, we read about the rest of his life, and we mm-hmm. read about his faith, and then we read, you know, in other parts of history about his death. You know, and he died with honor and giving, you know, Jesus glory through that too, and through the rest of his life. So hold on to Jesus and God. And I like I said, I'm interested to hear if we don't get any phone calls, you know, legit today. And that one might have been. It rang for a second because you were talking. And
goodbye.
So it might have been that they had just hung up. But. If we don't get any phone calls today, maybe next week, and we'll be talking about a different encounter with Christ. But this is going to be an interesting series. So what I was going to say is comment on our Facebook page with your favorite encounter with Christ if you don't get to call in today. And we'd love to hear about that encounter that you like, and also why you think that why you like it so much, why you think it's so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they all are. But we can learn lessons from every single one, and almost a different lesson from them.
So it's been great to be back with you, Jess. It's been great to be back with our Facebook Live people. If you're listening on the podcast later, we appreciate you doing that as well. Please like and share the videos. We appreciate so much your feedback, your comments, your just communicating with us. We really, really appreciate it. And it's been great to be back here today. There are some ways to get in touch with us. Jess, remind them.
Absolutely. So you can find us on the iTunes podcast app and also on Google Play if you have an Android phone. You can communicate with us, and please do, by in three different ways, via email at ministryzoo@gmail.com. So that's ministryzoo@gmail.com. You can find us on our Facebook page and talk to us there and encounter us there, and also on Twitter. At Ministry Zoo, there
that is
on
three.
Twitter. That is
you,
three.
You can count.
I mean,
so
you know, every
you.
Now and then, you know,
did so good.
Yeah,
Russellville served you well.
So definitely reach out to us, and if you don't mind, subscribe to our channels and to
do
the podcast and. That way we can stay even better connected with you. So, Wes, it has been good to be with you today.
That.
I appreciate what you do and your work. And, again, just super excited to get into Season 2 now of Ministries.
That's right. It's the Bearded Zoo, and we love you, and we appreciate you. Go Cubs!
We're out.